You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight we have a very special guest returning to our airwaves. George Marshall is here from the Rhode Island Film Festival. Welcome back, George.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me back.
Great to have you back. Always a great guest where we have lots of fun discussions and a lot of behind-the-scenes stories. And we talk about the film festival, which is an amazing thing. It's something that Rhode Island and the whole area can be very, very proud of. It's a huge event. And George, let's start with that. You're the executive director, so executive us.
Okay. Well, this is kind of a major year for us. It's our 17th year for the Rhode Island International Film Festival, and actually the 31st for our nonprofit organization, which specializes in film and the media arts. This year, we have got about 220 titles we're going to be showing over the 6-day period across the state of Rhode Island. Some free shows as well for folks that they can take part in without having to stretch their dollars. Or they can come to our home, which is the Veterans Memorial Auditorium, or now called the Vets, to see some premier work. I believe this season we have 55 world and U.S. premieres.
Wow. That's almost, for those of us not in the industry, it doesn't seem like there could be that many anywhere.
Oh, God.
I mean, the whole world over.
This was our biggest year in terms of entries. We had more than 5,100 films that were received starting in the end of August last year.
And you watched them all, right?
Oh, yeah, Mike. No, of course not. We have judges actually worldwide, because a good chunk of the material comes in as online screeners. So mm-hmm. If you have a computer, you can watch the entry that way. You actually can adjudicate it with a thumbs up, thumbs down, right comments, and wow. You can score it on a star system. About 150 folks approximately that do the online, and then we have hard copies that come in, and then we have folks within the community that come and watch the movies. Our rules require that every film has to have 3 judges, so you can do the math on over 5,000 entries.
Wow. Amazing.
If I watched them all, no, I'd have no life at all, and I wouldn't be talking to you.
Well, I know you have quite a full life, and you've had quite a bit of experience with movies, and it's always a challenge sometimes to come in and talk about the festival, because obviously those movies haven't shown yet, and in a lot of cases, there's no music to them, or little music to them.
If they're short films.
Certainly hasn't been released yet.
No, it hasn't been released. Right. I mean, a case in point, we were talking before the show, we have a world premiere here of a film with C.J. Adams from Rhode Island, and he was in the Life of Timothy Green last year, a Disney film.
Good friend of ours, and actually had him on our show.
Oh, yeah, nice fellow. And so anyway, the film is called Against the Wild with Natasha Hendricks. And the cool thing is, when we first got the film, we had a temporary track on it. So it was just needle drop music. Right. And they went to Prague with a full orchestrated score. Mm-hmm. So the final piece is really quite dramatic. The director was so proud of it because he was sending me excerpts. So it really depends what the film is in terms of the music track. Documentaries end up having decent tracks, but not full orchestrations.
Right.
Some short films, depending on the theme, particularly if they're dramatic, will have orchestrations. But you're talking a film that could be 4 minutes or 15 minutes.
Sure.
So you're not talking the same type of riffs that would be in a major film.
Right. And so what we've done today is George has brought his usual pile of personal CDs.
Oh, please.
And we have the first one is Muriel's Wedding. Now, why did you choose that one?
I chose that because we also have a U.S. premiere of a film called Foster, which is our Saturday night program. That's Saturday, August 10th. And it'll be at the Vets. It's a 6:30 show. And the linkage here is Toni Collette, who is in Muriel's Wedding.
Okay.
Stars in this film. And what's nice about this, too, is that the film has a tie to our festival, because it's a it's a creative build from what was a short film. Mm-hmm. And since we're an Academy qualifier in the short film division, people keep asking me, why do you do short films? I mean, what happens if you're a short filmmaker? Well, it's your calling card to get to make a feature film. That's right. Here's a case in point where we're actually going to show the original short film, which was 9 minutes, and then we'll show the 90-minute feature that was made. And fingers crossed, and I will know shortly, the stars of the show, not Toni Collette, but some of the other stars in the movie are planning on being there, including the little boy that plays Foster, and they're coming in from England.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're going to play from Muriel's Wedding, a song that you will all recognize no matter what your age is. The music that a lot of people, I'm sure, know and recognize, but, you know, I bet there's a lot of people that didn't remember that it was from Muriel's Wedding.
Yeah, and, you know, the funny thing is Toni Collette gained a lot of weight for that role, and then when people rediscovered her or discovered her for the first time in The Sixth Sense, which was a film that followed that,
right.
It's like, who is this person? What happened to her? And she has had such an amazing and prolific career, mm-hmm. and most people actually don't even associate the fact that she's Australian now. I mean, think of the United States of Terror that she did on cable. And now, of course, with some of her newer films out there.
And she's, she's in a new series on USA or something like that, where she plays a doctor to the president.
Yeah.
So she's working a lot.
She's working a lot, and she started with Muriel's Wedding. That's where everybody got to recognize her. And the ABBA music, of course, had a resurgence because of that.
Right. And now you brought up Hugh Jackman, and now what's that tie-in going
to be? Well, the tie-in is actually not with our festival. It's just kind of like me having some fun, because Hugh Jackman's gained such acclaim
Not going to be there.
Oh, as a matter of fact, he's staying at my house in Newport, everybody.
Out, right?
I'll give you the address. You can come in for autographs. No, of course, he's not going to be here. The thing that people don't realize is that in this business, it's a gig. It's work.
Right.
And someone like Hugh Jackman is actually an accomplished stage actor and a performing artist. And the piece we're going to play for you is Hugh Jackman singing. So for those of you who only associate him with sci-fi films like
the new one coming out, Wolverine.
Yeah, the Wolverine,
right.
You know, and the X-Men and things like that.
Sure.
You need to realize that that's a gig for Jackman, and he's very dynamic. And people saw that he could sing this last year. With Les Mis.
Right.
So here's a piece from Broadway, The Boy from Oz, which is an amusing piece. And of course, for those that saw the thing, Hugh Jackman actually strips down. So I saw it with a group of elderly people who were having conniptions fits, yelling at him, take it off, take it off. And in front of me, this was a matinee when I saw it, what I thought was so amusing, this woman lost her hearing aid and was so upset that it fell off and she couldn't hear him. But she did not want to do anything
except look at him.
Yes. So this is my homage to that. But it's also a statement that in this business, people wear multiple hats, and the talent level is something you never underestimate.
And this tune is called I Go to Rio.
Turn it down.
George. A lot of music and a lot of things to talk about. Let's get to the specifics of the festival itself.
Oh, sure.
When does it open?
Well, the festival officially opens on Tuesday, August 6th. And it's our main opening event is a salute to the art of the short film. So what we've had in the past, last year we had three of the films that played opening night nominated for an Academy Award. The year before it was four of the films, so we had four out of five, and we actually won two awards that year. What's fun about the opening night is a way to experience the best of the festival mm-hmm. in an encapsulated version. And the sweet thing about a short film is you don't like it. It's done in a couple minutes, right?
That's right.
So it is a very eclectic mix, and I promise you that it will end on an up-tempo, and you will walk out of the theater excited and energized to come to the rest of the fest.
And if people want to get more information, they can go to the website, which
is www.rifilmfest.org.
rifilmfest.org.
Yes, and you can actually, on that splash page, there's a thing there that takes you to the entire schedule and calendar. Mm-hmm. You can order tickets there. It's also designed that you can build your own program. You can pick the films you want to do, and you can actually print out a roster of films and locations. And we're all over the state. We're in Woonsocket, we're in Tiverton, we're in Providence, and we're in Jamestown.
All right, excellent. We'll get one more piece of music in before the first break, and this is, again, a little astray. This is from the Muppets.
This is from the Muppets, and only because I drive with Kermit in my car. Anybody that knows me, I have Kermit in my back seat strapped in. And he's my companion in crime. It's not easy being green. And I know that sounds really immature, and I'm not even tell you, you know how old I am. I'm not going to tell the audience how old I am. But I've had Kermit in my car now for a long, long time. It's a personal thing. My dad had him when he was in a nursing home. And I took when my dad passed away, I put Kermit in the back of my car, and he's been there ever since. This is a piece that I think is kind of a special tribute to not only the Muppets, which I grew up with and I still love, but also because it's kind of the child in me and what we do with our festival, which is really to entertain and to share our passion for film.
Life's a happy song. We'll listen to that and then be back with more of George Marshall and the Rhode Island Film Festival.
Everything is great.
Everything is grand.
We've got the whole wide world in the palm of our hand.
Everything is perfect.
It's falling into place.
I can't seem to wipe this smile off my face.
When there's someone by your side to sing along.
Everything is great, we'll live happily ever after.
And we'll keep giving the world the third greatest gift,
laughter!
See, movie's almost over, it's time to say so!
Will you please stop singing? You've already sung this song.
When there's someone by your side,
just sing along!
We're happier when you don't sing!
And you, 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 and, well, all of you.
When there's someone by your side to sing,
life's a happy song.
Life's a happy song when there's someone by your side to sing along.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with George Marshall, the executive director of the Rhode Island Film Festival, which is opening in about less than 10 days from now. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be an exciting event. We've given you some details. We'll continue to do that. And George, when we talk about movie themes, sometimes movies are repeated. In recent memory, you have things like Spider-Man, where it came out, several different versions came out.
Yeah, the Tobey Maguire version.
Even you go back some of the classics, Sabrina, there was an original Sabrina,
absolutely.
New Sabrina, and one of the most famous ones is probably Superman.
Yeah, and DC Comics, of course, is now expanding that, and we've had people remember Christopher Reeve as
sure.
the epitome of Superman, and then we had a
You'll
reboot.
You'll Believe a Man Can Fly. That was
back
the
in the
1970s,
yeah. You did.
Yeah.
Now, of course, with digital technology, it actually seems like they are flying.
Sure.
We had a reboot a couple years ago with a fellow named Brandon Roth. The film was shot actually in Australia, and it did decent business, and now we've discovered that they've decided to reboot it all over again. Now, to me, the Superman music is something I associate with John Williams. Mm-hmm. And when they did the reboot of Superman Returns, they used John Williams' score. So I thought it would be fun to listen to the two different versions of Superman and the vision of Superman, this alien from another planet who's here to help us and restore order and dignity to the planet Earth and give us something that we never could have on our own.
So this is the older version first?
This is the reboot version that was done with Brandon Roth, who we actually got to meet a couple years ago at our festival with a new film that he was premiering for us.
All right, we'll listen. All right, and now we're going to go to the newer one, which I had the privilege of seeing just a few weeks ago, and when I was in Toronto in a very nice theater up there, and it was a very entertaining movie. And I thought of all the Superman movies, I thought it did the best job of explaining the actual background.
Yeah, and the legacy.
The legacy.
It's interesting too because we're so used to the majesty of music that was composed by John Williams, which is really iconic. And then to have that now created anew. In this case, the composer is Hans Zimmer. Mm-hmm. And Hans Zimmer has done a ton of stuff, and most people associate him with films like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right. I was going to say, he's not an unknown quantity.
He's not an unknown quantity. But there's a certain Hans Zimmer style, just like John Williams.
Right.
And so to take that, his style of music, and then transpose it into this iconic figure, I think is kind of an interesting twist.
All right. We'll listen to the new Superman music and then take a short break and be back with more. Back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Rhode Island Film Festival's George T. Marshall. And George is the executive director and a fairly frequent guest here to Conducting Conversations. This is probably our, fifth or sixth show, I would think.
I think so, yeah.
And we've had some interesting technical episodes over the years. Oh. One time the studio was down because of a power outage, and we had other things, and we've had CDs that we thought were CDs and were DVDs, and we've had some that were encrypted with video and sometimes hard to play. I'm not bringing that up because it happened today.
No, it didn't happen at all.
but we'll muddle through and get through those technical difficulties to bring you a lot of great music. And we're talking about the film festival, and in this segment, before we leave the air, we'll give you all the details about where to go, how to get tickets, mm-hmm. some of the other interesting events that are there. George has talked about how many different things are going on and at many different venues. And over the years, George, you've been in some very unique and interesting places to show films.
Oh, gosh. We've done everything from church basements to a former adult entertainment center. and we've done libraries. We have tried to bring our festival to people in our communities. And one of the things we know with folks in Rhode Island that they like being home. They don't like traveling a lot. So we've made a point of bringing the festival to them. We also do even off-season programming where if you've missed the festival, you get to see some of our best episodes. The cool thing about the festival is always about discovery. If you come to our festival, you don't know who you're sitting next to. You could be sitting next to one of the Farrelly brothers. You could be sitting next to somebody that was just in a movie you saw, The Multiplex. We do draw in a fair amount of celebrities. Last year we had over almost 250 filmmakers came in from all over the globe, and they were here for the week. So you get to meet those folks, plus their cast and crew. And there's no pretension, no attitude. It's just a nice experience, and you get to really wrap your brain around some exciting new entertainment.
And all this starts in just a few days, about 10 days from now, Tuesday, August 6th. And where is that event going to be?
Well, August 6th is going to be at the Vets up in Providence. That's One Avenue of the Arts right across from the State House.
So that's the biggie.
That's our big opening. But truthfully, we have some major events all week long. On Wednesday night, we're going to have the world premiere of a new documentary by our friend Steven Feinberg, who is the executive director of the Rhode Island Film and Television Office. And Steven spent the last year plus working on a piece on the Pell Grants, which is very topical right now when you talk about funding college education. And Claiborne Pell was certainly ahead of the charge. Most people don't realize how much Claiborne actually did for the state of Rhode Island and the nation as a whole. When you start talking about the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities, that's Claiborne Pell.
I've been in California and had people talking about Pell Grants. It's not a Rhode Island thing.
We tend to have some memory loss in terms of what was created here. Rhode Island's a cool state. It really is a cool state. And we've had some amazing people that come out of our state that really touched the not just nationally, but internationally.
Sure.
So this is a very nice documentary that Stephen is going to be premiering. And then afterwards, that evening, we have a friend of the festival. Name is Marlon Mason. For those of you who remember some of the stuff from the 1960s, the television programming, Marlon was rather big in those days. And she was in Longstreet. She's done so many episodes from Man from U.N.C.L.E. down the line. We're having a birthday party for Marlon. She's become a friend of the festival. She's premiering a brand new work. She'll be turning 73 years old. We're going to have a cake there. We're going to have a Q&A. It's going to be like inside the actor's studio. And we're going to have some surprise guests for her, which I'm not going to talk about until you come there.
Excellent.
But that'll be in the evening on Wednesday. We have walking tour locations in Providence. People are going to be able to go and do that in the morning. Mm-hmm. We have a Rhode Island Film Forum. We have a program on called Script Biz, which is pitching screenplays. We've got writers, directors coming in from all over the world for that. And then some of the other special events. We're doing a salute to first responders and to veterans. We have a film that was shot in Davisville at the old CB base. The fellow tells the story about his parents. It's love letters from World War II. And this will be a world premiere. We're also bringing in Heather Abbott. Heather Abbott, if you remember, was involved with the bombing at the Boston Marathon. She's a survivor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's from Newport, and she'll be coming up and actually talking and being on a panel with a piece we're doing called Comedy Warriors. And it's about how to heal through comedy. So the director's coming and some of the other folks that work with people that have been in really nasty situations and how to move beyond that, how to grow. Right. That we're actually inviting folks from the VA hospital and others to come and join us. It'll be a great program on Thursday at the Vets.
George, we're going to get to a piece of music now that is a real classic. This is not from 10 years ago or 20 or 30. Oh. This is going back there.
This is 1958, actually.
1958. All right. Alfred Hitchcock.
I think probably one of his best movies and also probably one of his most disturbing. I think it has more power and resonance than Psycho and the Birds, because it's a psychological drama. And I think you see in this film probably one of the most provocative and evocative performances by a lead actor, and that's Jimmy Stewart. The film is Vertigo, and this is the necklace and return and finale. This is the big music piece by Bernard Herrmann.
Now, as I remember, not to to go away from the introduction, but as I remember, this movie also was credited with some new styles of holding the camera and filming, right?
Yes, that's right.
And that was kind of a pioneer in the fact that you didn't just have this camera standing there.
Yeah, and Hitchcock pushed boundaries. No matter what we've seen in recent autobiographical films or bio films of him, Hitchcock was really a master and a genius when it came to using this medium. Vertigo used so many different devices, and ironically, a lot of the locations where Vertigo was shot still exist. And you can go to San Francisco, you can go to Muir Woods, and you can still see locations that were shot for this film in 1958. So if you want a fun thing, do a Vertigo trip to California.
That would be interesting.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll listen to this. It's a little bit lengthy. We'll try to listen to it as much as possible.
Thank you.
marriage. I know we always say this, but we have a great time when you come here to visit us at Conducting Conversations. Great, great background stories, great music, a lot of memories, and a lot of interesting information. As far as interesting information is concerned, remember the festival starts on Tuesday, August 6th at Vets. And runs for until the 11th, I believe.
Until the 11th, Sunday the 11th, actually.
And the best way to get information is to what?
Best go online. You can get the schedule. You can download the schedule. You can order tickets. Everybody is welcome. Please don't say, oh, it's a festival, I can't go. No, you can go. Join folks in the community. You're going to be supporting folks in the community as well, because we actually share some of our profits with local arts organizations. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go to a film in Jamestown, go to Jamestown Arts Center. There's some amazing films there. So www.rifilmfest.org. That's where you'll be able to see the entire schedule. And I promise you, you'll be really surprised. There's some wonderful, wonderful pieces there this year.
Now, we didn't discuss this off air, but I'm going to guess that it's pretty affordable in different places.
Oh, yeah. You can buy a festival six pack for $40. You can basically, it's six films for $40. So it's cheaper than the multiplex. We do kids programming rates. So if you have a kid, for our Kids Eye program, it's $5. Wow. We try to make it affordable. We want to make sure that you go and not only support the festival, which is a nonprofit organization, but support our artists who are there. Nothing makes the experience better for visiting filmmakers than to see an audience.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, and we can't wait so long to have you back again, because it's always a pleasure.
Thank you. It always is.
Maybe you can bring George with you. Stephen with
Stephen
you next
with
time.
Me? Yes, absolutely. And, Stephen's editing right now, which is why he's not here. We're really excited about his film, honestly. I'm looking forward to seeing this myself.
Excellent. We're going to go out with another oldie but goodie, and off air you told me you actually have the vinyl of this one.
Oh, I had the vinyl. Well, we just had a vinyl party for our interns last weekend, and so I dragged this out. This is a piece by John Barry. It stars Christopher Reeve.
And not playing Superman.
Not playing Superman.
Probably his most famous not playing Superman.
Yeah,
role.
Absolutely. And this piece here, for those of you who remember this from the 1980s, it's a theme that will probably still resonate with you. It's called Somewhere in Time. It's one of my favorites. Music, John Barry.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.